Thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. Psalm 48, verse 9. As we think of words of welcome and the opportunity to speak to you of the General Convention Committee, we really think that the welcoming has been going on since here at Alma. The first to arrive have welcomed and greeted those who have followed on, and each one in turn has had the privilege of extending as a group of the Lord's people. We are welcomed by our Heavenly Father to this General Convention, for He knows what great things have been prepared through His loving kindness for the edification of His family, for the building of the body of Christ, that spiritual temple that we are privileged to be. And we are welcomed by the Convention Committee, who have been at work since last we met, prayerfully considering both the spiritual and temporal needs of this convention. We appreciate it very much, the words of welcome that have been given to us by Morley Frazier, and we appreciate the smiles, the friendly manner of greeting, and all of the helps that are being provided to us by the staff here at Albion College. And we know and we feel warmly that we have the assurance of this welcome to and by Albion College as we gather in convention. And specifically, I have the privilege and I have the pleasure of welcoming each of you on behalf of the Convention Committee to this Bible Students' General Convention, the ninth to be held here at Albion College. We are grateful and we are most thankful to our Heavenly Father that in His providence we will be able to share in the rich blessings of His loving kindness. And so we do extend a warm Christian greeting, a warm Christian welcome to each of you, praying that the Lord will richly bless you during your stay here. And as we appreciate being welcome at the Bible Students' General Convention, we also know and realize that our interest and our purpose, our prayers and our desire, is to learn more of our Heavenly Father's plan and purposes as the body of Christ is being shaped. We desire to feed from the spiritual food that has been prepared for us by the loving kindness of our Heavenly Father. During the past year, we have, each one of us, had many thoughts of the goodness and mercy of the loving kindness of our Heavenly Father. And the scripture verse in Psalm 48, verse 9, that we quoted earlier, draws attention both to what we have been thinking of and what we will be thinking of during the next 6 days. Psalm 48, verse 9, we have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. As we have gathered together with our brethren in our own ecclesias, in our own home classes, in our home study effort, in witness effort and activity in the Lord's service, doing whatever the Heavenly Father has given to us to do as unto the Lord, we have indeed thought of our Heavenly Father's loving kindness. And one specially edifying thought of that loving kindness is brought to our attention in Exodus 34, verses 6 and 7. And you'll remember that this is in the passage where Moses has asked to see the glory of God. And Jehovah God told him that only a part would be visible. And as Moses was in this cleft of the rock, and as Jehovah God passed by, he declared his name. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. In this statement of our Lord's name, our Heavenly Father's name, we see the word goodness. abundant in goodness as a part of God's name. And this goodness is the very same word. It's Strong's number 2617, which is given as loving kindness in the text that we quoted earlier from Psalm 48, verse 9. And we see here that it identifies and describes our Heavenly Father as being abundant and overflowing in loving kindness. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have life everlasting. And so he gave Jesus, he gave his Son, he gave him so that Jesus might offer himself, a lamb without blemish and without spot, as the ransom sacrifice by which all the world will, in the millennial age, have the opportunity to come into harmony with God's laws of righteousness. Now, at the present time, during this gospel age, a church is being built. A temple is being shaped by our God's loving kindness. And we see an additional expression of this in this same passage as we hear and read the name of our Heavenly Father. In the seventh verse, we have the phrase, keeping mercy for thousands. Now, the word keeping is a word that means to guard, to protect, to maintain, or to preserve. But the next word, mercy, is interestingly enough the same one that we have seen already as loving kindness, and as we have seen as goodness. And so we see here that the Heavenly Father is guarding and preserving and maintaining his loving kindness for thousands. And I had a really rich thrill and blessing from this word thousands, for it's numbers 505 and 504 in Strong's Concordance. And it's a word that represents the number 1,000. Interestingly enough, it also has in it the thought and the expression of a family. It's depicted by an ox or by oxen yoked together. And so here we see a picture of the keeping, the maintaining, the preserving through the loving kindness and goodness of our Heavenly Father for the thousands. And I like to think of that as being for the 144,000, as the Heavenly Father is keeping and maintaining and preserving through loving kindness his church under development at this time. And that same word, thousands, also has an additional root meaning to learn. And so in gathering together in convention, in gathering for our studies, in being together with the Lord's people, we receive from the loving kindness of our Heavenly Father a thought that is directed toward the development of his church. And so, in this very name of Jehovah God, he is keeping mercy for the thousands. The psalmist in Psalm 31 expresses again this thought for us. And specifically, this is in the 23rd and 24th verses of the 31st Psalm, where we read, love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful, and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. And so it is for the saints, it is for those that hope in the Lord, that this keeping and preserving power of the Heavenly Father is operative at this time. And thus it is, as in thinking on God's loving kindness, we are thinking of his name, of his character, and of his virtues of love, of wisdom, of power, and of justice. And we realize that we, having been drawn by this power and being kept by his loving kindness, are being developed in the mind and character of Jesus, that we might, if faithful, be used by him as part of the Christ, as a part of the spiritual temple, to bring the promised blessings to the world and to mankind. And what a blessing, brethren, this is, to realize that in the very name of our Heavenly Father, He reveals to us that he is drawing, that he is preparing, and that he is preserving his church. And I like the passage in the second chapter of Ephesians, where Paul summarizes some of these thoughts of God's loving kindness. And this is in Ephesians, the second chapter, verses 4 through 7, where we read, God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness, his loving kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. And as we consider this, and as we think further on our Heavenly Father's loving kindness, we know that we have been drawn by him. We have been drawn by him to come to Jesus, to come to our Lord. For as he himself said, no man cometh to me except the Father who sent me draw him. Or as Jeremiah tells us in a prophecy to Israel, with a similar thought and expression, and this we find in Jeremiah 31, verse 3. He says, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Drawn by the loving kindness of our Heavenly Father, to strive to be one with our Lord Jesus, that we might be used of the Heavenly Father. And another aspect of this thought is to be found in one of my favorite psalms. This is the 119th psalm, where there is so much beauty and so many familiar scriptures for the edification of the temple of God. And this particularly I'm thinking of 119, verse 159, where the psalmist says, consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. And then in just a few verses prior to this, we read 149th verse, hear my voice, according to thy loving kindness, O Lord, quicken me according to thy judgment or to thy justice. And then there is yet another picture of God's loving kindness that means so much to us. And we find a reference to this in the prophecy according to Hosea. And here Hosea in the second chapter and verse 19, we are reminded by Hosea's prophecy of Israel's betrothal and blessing in the kingdom, we are reminded of our betrothal to the Lamb for the purpose of fulfilling God's blessings promised to mankind. Hosea 2:19 reads, I will betroth thee unto me forever. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness and in justice and in loving kindness and in mercy. And so, dear friends, as we think on God's loving kindness, as we have been drawn together here by his love, and as we are being welcomed together as a group of the Lord's people, we can say with Samuel, reverence the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you. And that's 1 Samuel 12, verse 24. For if we do this, then our hearts and our minds will be filled with thoughts that are edifying to the body of Christ, and with thoughts that will be pleasing to our Heavenly Father, because they will reflect his loving kindness. And I appreciate the summarization that Paul provides for us in bringing together our thoughts and reflecting God's loving kindness. And they appear in the theme text for this general convention. We find them in Philippians 4, 8, and 9. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. For if we do, as Paul tells us, the peace of God will be with us. And as we further consider the text of Psalm 48:9, we have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. We are well aware that it is in the midst of God's temple that our thoughts turn most assuredly to God's loving kindness. And thinking of God's antitypical temple, we are reminded that every building, if it is to stand the test of time, or in our case, if it is to stand the test of God's judgment, it must have a sure foundation. That sure foundation, brethren, as we know, is the one foundation of Christ Jesus. And there's a passage that we're familiar with in Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, where Paul develops this thought, and we'd like to consider this for just a few moments, beginning at 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11, where we read, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Each of us, as consecrated children of God, is now building on that sure foundation. And the results of how we have been exercised will reflect how and what we have built, of how we have been shaped by the loving kindness of our Heavenly Father. For as we read further, and this was read for us in part with our manna text this morning, now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall test every man's work, of what sort it is." And so, dear friends, if we build properly, following in the footsteps of our Lord Jesus, then we know that as lively stones, we will receive the reward of being part of the true and final temple, the church glorified, the Christ, with Jesus as our head, and the body members to share with him. For in verse 14 we read, "If any man's work abide which he hath built upon it, he shall receive a reward." For now, at the present time, we are being shaped, and as spirit-begotten children of God, we comprise that potential temple. "For know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" 1 Corinthians 3:16. And also in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16, Paul again reminds us that we are the temple of the living God. He also develops and expands a bit this thought in a passage we quoted a portion of just a few moments ago, and this is in the second chapter of Ephesians, and I'm thinking particularly of verses 19 through 22, where we read that ye are no more strangers and sojourners, but fellow citizens with the saints in the household of God. Ye are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief corner, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are built together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. And thus it is, brethren, that our lives in Christ, as Spirit-begotten children of God, to be shaped as building stones for God's spiritual house, his temple, reflect what is going on, what is happening at the present time, as we are in the midst of his temple. As Peter also reminds us in 1 Peter 2:5, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ.
And so it is, brethren, that as we gather together in this general convention, we are well aware that we are brought together as a potential temple, and that we are an actual temple, a spiritual temple, in the sight of our Heavenly Father. For each of us, when our earthly house of this tabernacle is dissolved, we have a building, and we will, if faithful, be a part of that building, of that temple, that house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And thus it is, brethren, that we realize this awe-inspiring fact that we here, now, comprise a part of the temple of God. We are privileged to serve Him, to serve His truth, to serve one another that we might grow in grace, in knowledge, and in understanding, so that we might be better enabled to serve our Heavenly Father in doing that which would be pleasing and acceptable in His sight, in doing that which would bring praise, honor, and glory to His holy name, in which we will be properly shaped, that we might fit perfectly together in that place in the body which God has prepared for us. And so it is that during this week of convention, we will be constantly reminded of our Heavenly Father's loving kindness as we consider lessons of doctrine and exhortation, as we participate in and receive blessings from our discussions that will help to resolve certain aspects of God's plan, and as we most richly enjoy and participate in that sweet fellowship of being with our brethren in the family of God. And so, brethren, we again welcome you to this Bible Students' General Convention. We rejoice that we have been brought together here by the loving kindness and by the providential overruling of our Heavenly Father. You are welcomed. We are welcomed. And we all feel welcome to this convention because we have full faith and expectation of the manifold blessings prepared for us by the loving kindness of our God, who has drawn us to be in the midst of this temple. It is our prayer. It's the prayer of each one of us. It's the prayer of your convention committee, that at the end we may say, in thankful rejoicing, we have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple, and it has been good to be here. May the Lord add his blessing.
Thank you very much, Brother Herb, for those words of welcome and encouragement.
Our gracious and loving, all-knowing, all-wise and merciful Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy name. We thank thee, O Father, for thy loving kindness, that thou hast brought us together, a group of thy people, that we might be in the midst of thy temple, and we might meditate on thy loving kindness. We pray, Father, that thou would richly bless each heart and each mind that is here, that we might receive from thy storehouse of truth those many blessings that you have prepared for us. May our hearts receive them. May we be edified and built up in our most holy faith, according to thy will, that we might walk more boldly, that we might walk more circumspectly in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. We thank thee, Father, for thy word of truth, and we thank thee for thy providential overruling. And we pray that we might be ever guided by it, that all praise, honor, and glory would be to thee. We pray thy blessing upon thy children, the world around, each one who has entered into a covenant of sacrifice, that thou would suit a blessing this day to each one according to thy will. We also, Father, ask thy forgiveness for our own shortcomings and imperfections, and pray that we might ever seek thy counsel, that we might ever commune with thee in prayer, that we might ever come to thy throne of grace and receive from thee the corrective blessing and the guidance that will be of assistance to us and a praise to thee. Now, Father, we ask thy continued blessing on the further sessions of this convention, that we might receive from thee these blessings of thy loving kindness. And we pray also and ever, Father, that soon thy promised blessings for the world of mankind might come, that thy kingdom would come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. For we do give thee thanks, Father, praying that we might ever walk with Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.
We have an intermission now till 11.